This is Pratima Manohar, and I'd like to welcome all of you to today's show, which features a young change driver who works in the intersection of technology and social change. Matt Stempak is currently at the Center for Civic Media at MIT. He has previously worked with Echo Ditto, a boutique consulting firm that builds cool technologies for socially responsible businesses and nonprofits. He also worked with the New Organizing Institute, where he helped train the next generation of organizers. I started by asking Matt about his key life-changing moments.
In terms of like my career trajectory, I was describing, well, I'll say it again, the recorder, everything I have now in terms of a career all stems back from choosing to write a thesis in undergraduate university on political blogs and how they're changing journalism, which was actually very different at the time from all the other students. All the other students were writing, you know, constitutional law of the 1850s and things like that, and I chose a modern topic, and actually it was supposed to be political science, but it, you know, bled over into journalism. And my thesis advisor on graduation day, you know, we didn't work too closely together, but he did hand me one business card on graduation day, and it was a business card of Michael Silberman at Echo Ditto, who, little did I know at the time, would end up being a really good friend and mentor, and Echo Ditto and all the people there ended up being my welcome to the whole world of digital social change and online social change and working for nonprofits and socially responsible businesses and, you know, campaigns. And they really got me plugged into the whole community in Washington, D.C. of people working in social change and working in technology and political technology. So it really came back to that one moment where my advisor, you know, handed me a business card of someone I had never heard of before, and everything kind of flowed from there.
What's the most proud moment that you've had in your career?
I think one of them was when I was at my last job at the New Organizing Institute. We'd organized an annual or even twice annual conference called Roots Camp, where I actually was just a couple of weeks ago in Washington, D.C. And it's non-conference, which means anyone can come and propose any session. And it's a very candid environment where 1,000 of the best organizers from across the country get together and share what's working and what's not working and, you know, and try to learn from each other. And I think my proudest moment professionally was at the end of Roots Camp last year that we organized. And I helped, you know, start a Most Valuable Organizer Award, just like the Oscars tonight, but for political organizers, because there's so much work in this field, but so little recognition, especially in terms of things like paycheck and hours. There's very little recognition. So we decided to elevate the best campaigns, the best organizers as individuals, and the best technologies. And I think the award ceremony and following afterwards at Roots Camp last year, standing on stage with our whole team of New Organizing Institute, was probably one of my most proud moments professionally.
So if you were to describe your ideal world to me, what would it look like?
Wow. My ideal world is a very unlikely one, where everyone treats each other really well. No one's really ignorant of things that they should know about. High quality information and things like, you know, the results of like scientific studies are like actually, you know, executed in the world in terms of policy. So just as a stupid example, you know, it's been proven that SAT scores have nothing to do with later success. In my ideal world, you know, a place like MIT, actually, so a place like MIT considers that one of many factors, versus other schools very much only care about SAT scores. In my ideal world, people would act and policies would be based on what's been proven empirically. That's just like a little nerd rant.
That's cool. That makes sense.
Yeah. I don't know, I think people would just be happier with how great it is to be alive and be more positive in general, less pessimistic and negative about things. I could go on.
Okay, tell me what inspires you.
Okay.
Is it easy to inspire you or does it take a lot of work?
It's easy in that I find inspiration frequently. It's not easy in that, you know, my daily existence is kind of sometimes a struggle against seeing the more negative things in the world and then having to look for inspiration sometimes at the end of a long day. But I do frequently find that inspiration. And often it's I'm a big fan of the underdog. As a lifelong fan of the Boston Red Sox, I, you know, have a place in my heart for the underdog and the people who are fighting against the odds and with fewer resources, but doing a great job of it. And frankly, David versus Goliath battles where David sometimes wins. That's very inspiring to me, and that's why I think the world of political organizing has, you know, drawn me to it. It's just people doing very important work with very few resources and very little support, and then still somehow pulling the, managing to win sometimes. I find that very exciting, and I find that to show how much potential there is for really a small number of people to make a huge change in the world. I have a lot of people who I just really admire the work of and get super excited by, and so
one
is, like, for example, Lawrence Lessig, you know, founded Creative Commons, and now he's focused on another passionate issue of mine, which is campaign reform and corruption. I got to have dinner with him last week because he came to speak in the Media Lab. I'm still getting over that, and like that being at MIT gets me, you know, access to people like that that before I just, you know, admired the work of from afar online, you know.
Yeah, I love Lessig too. So what makes you sad? What makes you sad?
Sure. I think wasted potential. It makes me sad when I see the brightest minds of people I went to school with going on to work at rental car companies, and, you know, and it makes sense. You have to pay off student loans. But it makes me sad that all these people that I've discussed really important things with end up, you know, spending their day doing jobs that maybe aren't the best potential of what they can give back to the world. And I know that money is often the issue there, and that makes me sad. They're like, you know, lawyers, people in business school, everyone comes out and has to pay back loans, and that's kind of how the educational system is structured in the U.S., at least with higher education. And so it makes me sad that people who could be doing amazing things for the world end up having to put in time at a less exciting job because they are in debt.
And what makes you happy?
Creativity and seeing a lot of creative people together in one place. Seeing places like the Media Lab and also even just places like co-working spots is a big trend now where a lot of startups get together and they all chip in on office space together. And the result is like 25 really smart, creative, hardworking people all working on 25 different things, but kind of creating a culture of innovation, and that excites me in terms of what's possible. And you know, it's a flexible model that in the past wasn't, you know, really that possible, and now it's happening in like every major city.
If you were to describe your like one big ambition, what would it be?
I don't know that I've ever even dreamed that big in terms of like, you know.
You want to be a president?
No, actually, I've got one. If we could have congressional campaigns in the United States publicly financed, meaning that you people running for office had an option to take public funds if they were qualified, rather than ask people for money all the time. If when I die that was in place, I'd be a happy, you know, old person.
Why is this so important to you? What is it about this crisis that, you know, the U.S., you know, democracy faces right now upset you so much? Why is this one big idea so
Just fun? Because logically, I think everything else stems from this problem. Whether in less, you know, striking at the root of all these other problems, I've seen friends work on trying to get the U.S. to take action on climate change. It's never going to happen because a small percentage of people in the U.S., elected congressmen, are taking money from oil companies. As long as that's the case, you're not going to have solutions that, even practical, like obvious solutions, won't happen because the people who are fighting for the public good often don't have the lobbyists in Congress that the people who are making money off of it. It's just a logical problem. The people who make money can afford to send lobbyists. The people who don't make money can't. And that, right now, unfortunately, is a huge effect on what policies we get. So anyway, I think it's just the root of so many other issues that I care about. Anything, whether it's you know, prison reform or climate change or intellectual property and, you know, the Creative Commons, you know, none of it can proceed logically, you know, as one might expect it to with the current state.
So now I have like a bit of a different format. I want you to choose between two options that I'm going to give you.
Okay.
So real world conversations or Google Hangouts?
Real world conversations. I haven't done too many Google Hangouts, but I love getting coffee with people.
Online organizing or grassroots real world organizing?
I think grassroots is more effective long term. I'm better at online. I got into online organizing because I don't like telephones, and many people who do grassroots spend their entire day on the telephone. So I think grassroots is much more difficult work sometimes, because you're knocking on doors and getting doors slammed in your face and dealing with some really, really raw, authentic people out in the community. And online, you get to sit there playing with Facebook. So I choose online because it's easier.
Okay, style or technique?
Interesting. Can you define technique? How are you defining technique?
I don't know, something
like tactics.
Really technique, like a way of doing it, but style, which is a lot of.
I'm going to be contrarian and say style. I think how something is sold and presented and communicated can make a big difference, whether or not people get behind it and use it if it's a product or become part of it if it's a movement. And I think sometimes, because they're underfunded, many social change groups don't pay enough attention to style and branding and aesthetics. And I think it's exciting when you can combine all those things.
Okay, Facebook or Twitter?
Twitter. When I did my media diet, I realized that Facebook's a nice static utility, which kind of tried to be. It's a nice directory of my friends and my social existence. But Twitter is my daily crack pipe of news and social intelligence. So in terms of my need, my addiction, is definitely Twitter.
Thank you, Matt, for the wonderful conversation. And thank you, all of you, for joining us today.